Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 FY22 earnings conference call of Aarti Drugs Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today to discuss our financial results for the quarter and financial year ended March 31st, 2022. Before I take you through the performance highlights, let me remind you that as communicated in the earlier earnings call, the financial performance on a year-on-year basis is not exactly stable, especially in terms of realizations and margins because of elevated API margins driven by sudden supply disruptions due to COVID-19 related lockdown during the financial year 2021. The company reported resilient set of performance with improved product mix, even though the entire globe continued to face unparalleled challenges in the business environment. I will now take you through segment-wise performance. First, we will discuss standalone business performance. Standalone revenues for quarter four FY22 stood at 642.1 crores rupees as against 452.9 crores, a healthy growth of 42% year-on-year. Standalone business contributed approximately 90% to the consolidated revenue. Approximately 61% of the revenues came from the domestic market, while the remaining 39% came from the export market for Q4 FY22 for our standalone business. Domestic revenue grew approximately by 37%, while exports grew by around 50% year-on-year for Q4 FY22. API volumes grew considerably by around 23%, led by healthy growth in chronic therapies, especially in antidiabetic segment. Within the API segment, the antibiotic therapeutic category contributed around 43%, antidiabetic around 17%, antiprotozoal around 14%, anti-inflammatory around 12%, antifungal around 9%, and the rest contributed around 4% to the total API sales of Q4 FY22. Going forward, the growth in chronic therapies is expected to outpace the growth in acute therapies, mainly driven by recently commissioned antidiabetic capacity. Formulation segment performance. For the quarter, the revenue for formulations stood at rupees 69 crores, growth of approximately 10% year-on-year. Formulation segment contributed around 10% to the consolidated revenue for the quarter. About 39% of the formulation revenue came from exports during the quarter. Exports continues to be a key focus area for the formulation. Now we'll discuss specialty chemicals and intermediate segment performance. For the quarter, revenue from operations for specialty chemicals and intermediates stood at rupees 56 crores, which grew 17% on a year-on-year basis. For the FY22, the revenue from operations stood at rupees 210.8 crores, a growth of 28% year-on-year basis. Company's strong chemistry skills, along with a niche presence in chlorosulfonation products, led to this healthy growth. The growth trajectory for this business is expected to continue further, driven by recently commissioned brownfield expansion at Tarapur facility. On a consolidated basis, company's FY22 revenue stood at 2,500 crores, a growth of 16% year-on-year basis. Also, the company posted robust revenue growth of 39% in Q4 FY22, which was primarily a 46% year-on-year growth in API business, along with 17% in specialty chemicals, intermediate and others. EBITDA and PAT grew by 9% and 7% respectively. EBITDA margins were affected due to continuous up in raw material prices and power and fuel cost, especially the coal cost. The company's overall product mix, especially in API products, improved considerably along with improved operating leverage, which helped the company to partially offset the impact of higher raw material. However, multiple headwinds such as ongoing Russia-Ukraine conflict, continuous inflation in the input cost, especially solvents which are related to the crude price, supply chain disruptions, recent China lockdowns due to spike in COVID-19 cases, et cetera, had an impact on margins and profitability in Q4, as well as for the entire FY22. The company is closely monitoring the evolving geopolitical events. The company has undertaken multiple price hikes during the quarter, partially offset the impact. However, these price hikes were not sufficient as the velocity and volatility of increase in input cost, due to the reasons just mentioned, remained very high. The company expects stabilization in the margins once the input prices stabilize, which we expect by the end of Q2 FY23. The company is also focusing to increase the revenue contribution from therapies, especially from anti-diabetic products, antifungal products, which would help the company to regain the sustainable long-term EBITDA margin levels. Coming to the important update. In the U.S. FDA inspection for Tarapur import facility, the company has successfully completed the third-party mock audit recently. The audit was carried out by the U.S. FDA consultants, who are the ex-U.S. FDA inspectors themselves. The final response will be submitted to the U.S. FDA towards the end of H1 FY23, most probably by the beginning of August month, and the U.S. FDA inspection is expected to be done by the end of this financial year. The company remains confident of the positive outcome. Apart from this, the same facility has cleared Australian TGA inspection audit recently, which will enable the company to expand the business further in Australia as well. The company incurred a CapEx of rupees 145 crores during the year. The company's plan to further invest rupees 250-350 crores in FY23. After witnessing sluggish construction activity in H1 FY22, owing to prolonged monsoon, the pace has picked up in H2 FY22. For the Gujarat project, the civil construction activity has picked up the momentum, which is expected to operationalize towards the end of current financial year. Expansion for Tarapur brownfield specialty chemical has come in successfully. Scale-up batches have been undertaken since the start of the current month. For Tarapur greenfield API facility, boiler and zero liquid discharge treatment plants would be operational by this month end, and the company is planning to scale up the production by the end of FY23. Net debt to equity as of March 31st, 2022, stood comfortably at 0.52x. The working capital cycle, however, got elongated as the company strategically increased the raw material inventory owing to high inflationary nature in the raw materials and probable disruptions in the supply chain. There is some increase in the finished good inventory as well, due to anticipated pickup from the customers in quarter one FY23. As a company policy of rewarding shareholders, the company has paid 81 crores in FY22 in the form of dividend and share buyback. The company remains committed to create the value for the shareholders by enhancing the strategic value proposition through capacity augmentation, cost rationalization, backward integration, strong focus on R&D, and optimal capital allocation. With this, we can now begin the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, I just want to understand the CapEx. Now, last year our CapEx is 145 crore. Can I get the breakup of this CapEx for in terms of the therapies? And what is the another CapEx that we are looking for next year?
The main projects which are going on, one is already has been started. The brownfield expansion of a chlorosulfonation facility at Tarapur. We just commenced with that project in the month of May. Then there are two main greenfield projects which are going on. One is going on in Gujarat, that is for the backward integration and intermediate space. The Tarapur greenfield project is focusing on dermatology related API. So both these projects will mostly by the end of current financial year, and that is where the majority of the capex will be going. And a very small portion, say 40 to 50 crores of the capex, will be utilized for general brownfield extension facility, the GMP enhancement, and some bit for the maintenance capex.
So we can say this year 250 to 350 crore capex, it will go for this brownfield expansion and other expansion.
Apart from that, say 40 to 50 crores of brownfield and maintenance capex, apart from that, the major capex is for the same projects which we have highlighted before. That 500 to 600 crores capex plan which we had. So it is going for the same project, mainly for the greenfield project, one at Tarapur and one at Gujarat.
Thank you. So if we see that we already invested 145 crore and we were looking some 5x turnover on capex, but this year this our incremental sale is on the lower part. How do you see the scenario next? And my second question is related to the cross margins about the raw material prices. How do you see the increase in raw material prices going on going onwards? I mean to say, when we can expect that things could get stable?
Okay. To answer the first question related to capex, the brownfield expansions which we are doing, they are definitely giving that 5x asset your revenues to asset. Turnover, but for the greenfield ones, it is somewhere in the region of 2 to 2.5x. And other question regarding the raw material prices, I would like Harit bhai to answer your question.
It's very difficult to give any guidance on raw material because due to current.
Just try to understand how the things are taking shape and what's your view on it.
It's very difficult to give any view, but looks like inflation is at top, and everybody, all governments are trying to control inflation. So demand may come down overall on commodities, and we expect price to come down by another 3 to 4 months. You know, but not at the original level, but it will come down. Yeah, we expect price to come down.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rashmi Sancheti from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and good evening to everyone. Adhish, one question again on gross margin front. With this kind of pressure, can we believe that, our operating margin can be sustained at around 12%? Or you believe that there is a scope of improvement with the brownfield capacity coming in place? I mean, with the better product mix.
Okay. Are you asking for the first quarter of coming financial year or?
The quarter four, I think we reported around 12% operating margin. I'm asking regarding that, is this kind of margin, will be able to sustain? Because I think you all mentioned that, till another two quarters, there is a likelihood of seeing, high raw material prices pressure. Are we going to sustain this or there is a scope of improvement in the overall operating margin?
Understood. For the next two quarters.
Yeah.
API, the standalone margins were, EBITDA margins were around 13.2% for March quarter. We believe that at overheads level also, we can easily improve around 0.5 to 1%. But apart from that, at the gross margin level, definitely our the current commissioning of chlorosulfonation plant, brownfield expansion, that segment is more profitable for us. So the product mix would be favorable in terms of betterment of the gross contribution for the first quarter. Definitely it will help more in the second quarter because the production has just started. And as far as the price hikes are concerned, so we were doing the analysis, means in the March quarter, if we see, we definitely have taken price hikes. About 85% of our products have maximum prices in the March quarter, if you compare all the four quarters of last year. And even in the March quarter itself, if we compare 3 months, January, February, March, then around 50% of the finished goods were having higher prices in the month of March. So definitely price hikes will also help us regain some of the gross contribution. But because the situation is so dynamic, it will become better, but then it is not, that easy to forecast as of now.
Okay. So I understand there is still uncertainty regarding that. But whatever growth that we have seen in API segment during this quarter, around 45-46%, that is all because of the price hike or there are new products that is anti-gliptin products and all have been commercialized or have started supplying?
Okay, the gliptin means we launched those products, but they are not yet significantly impacting our turnover as of now. But we expect them to do that in coming future. However, what was your other question?
So basically wanted to understand that all the growth which is coming in the API is mainly because of the price hike only?
Okay. So in the domestic market, we recorded a growth of around 36 to 37% in value terms, out of which 50% of the growth was due to volumes. Whereas in export, where we recorded the growth of around 50% in the last quarter, around 30 or 32% of the growth is because of the volumes, and rest 18-19% is because of the freight rate.
Okay. Thanks, that's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jha from Bay Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
So please proceed with your question.
So in last year's presentation, you had said that you have around 1500 plus employees. In this year's presentation, you are saying you have around 1000 employees. So around 500 employees less. But your employee expenses are higher for the year. So what is the disconnect?
I think there might be some mistake. There might be some mistake in it. We'll get it corrected.
Okay.
We haven't reduced the workforce actually.
Yeah. So, but this year's presentation has around 1000 employees. So 500 employees. So
there is some typo error in that. We'll get it corrected. Thank you for pointing out.
Okay. Second on the the capacity. So you have done some around 150 crores of capex, but your installed capacity has increased by just about 0.5, even less than 1%.
So most of the capacity was in means capacity as in the cash outflow was in capital WIP. That is the reason why the capacity enhancement was not seen to that extent.
Okay.
But now in the month of May, we have come up with chlorosulfonation capacity, and in the last quarter of this financial year, we will come up with two more capacities. So that is the point when you will see the.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranveer Singh from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. My question relates to that US FDA inspection we are awaiting on Tarapur facility. So if successful, what kind of a scope we can expect from this facility?
So there are a couple of indirect benefits as well, other than the fact that a couple of products, our ANDAs, means the ANDAs are still active. So though for those products, some commercial risk can be started. Definitely, in the beginning, it will be slow, but then it can pick up. But apart from that, there are a lot of indirect benefits in the terms that the facility also has EU GMP approval and CEP approvals for a few of the big products which we manufacture and we are pretty strong in. So there is a lot of demand of those products in European market, but because of this import alert, the cracking that market has been little difficult. So if import alert is cleared, even for the European market from that facility, we can achieve a lot of growth.
Can you highlight the number of products currently we can readily start supplying for US or Europe?
So there are two. Yeah, for Europe. Okay. For Europe, we have products like we have three good products like ciprofloxacin, celecoxib, and clopidogrel from that facility. There are other products as well like zolpidem tartrate, which are doing quite well for us.
So this is for Europe or US or?
Same products we'll be doing for US as well.
And earlier when import alert came, that time there were two facilities and one of the facilities was already delisted with the US FDA as per your press release, and one facility has got import alert. So that the another facility, what is the status of that facility? It means whether we got it again listed.
Okay. So that facility was never intended to be a US FDA facility, which got inspected at that point of time. So that was the reason by we delisted that facility. However, that is a very big and important facility for us for rest of the market, which includes Latin America as well. But going forward, we are planning to get a EU GMP certification for that facility. But that facility is never intended for the US market. So there are no plans to convert that facility into US FDA. But for Europe, we do have plans.
Okay. And for this year, we have a capex of 145 crore. You mentioned some projects, but I think some of these projects are not complete. So for up to FY22, that 145 crore, on what projects actually we have spent it?
So we had done a lot of debottlenecking that we spent in that and a couple of greenfield projects. So that money is still lying under capital WIP, and there was one big brownfield expansion for chlorosulfonation, which was also going on as of 31st March. But that project has now been completed, so it will be put to use in the month of May.
Okay, so just help me understand.
The major was in the greenfield.
Okay, so one was the intermediate project, which was under PLI scheme. So is that project is complete?
So that particular project, we opted to not go for PLI, but we still have expanded the capacity for that particular product. The reason we did that was because at the time when we applied for PLI, there was a commitment of some around 70 to 80 crores for implementing that project. But then due to advancement in the technology, we were able to complete that project at a very, very nominal cost, So that is the reason we had requested government that we will implement the same project, same capacity at a lower cost. But then they said that no, you will have to meet that capex requirement, which we thought that unnecessary spending money upfront, there is no point, and then apply for the PLI scheme. So that is the reason why we opted to go for that capex without PLI, and we have already means first stage of expansion for that particular product has already been done.
Okay, and so what is the capex in that 70-80 crore?
Yeah, it will be less than that, correct.
And other products like glycine related products we have, then skin treatment related APIs, chlorosulfonation you mentioned.
So that capacity we have implemented, and it is already online.
Fine, that is for myself.
Thank you. Okay. The next question is from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please proceed.
Yeah, okay. So, could you just repeat the amount you spent for the capex on the PLI? I couldn't catch that number you mentioned. What was the capex?
No, it was less. I said it was 20 crores.
Sorry, sir, 20 crores. Is that what you said?
No, much less than that. Means we are not giving out the exact number, but okay. Much less than that.
Okay, got it. So my questions are the follows. The first is, could you give the broad gross margin guidance or a range for the APIs, for the spectrum and intermediate, and for the formulation for RP Drugs as a company?
Guidance is for a long term. Definitely for APIs, we would like to achieve. Means right now we have a composite gross margin for API and specialty chemicals.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm just asking that broadly, the API basket, what is the broad gross margin that you have? What is the broad gross margins on formulation and spec chem and intermediate? The reason I ask this is so that we get a sense of how your gross margins may move in the future.
So the spec chem is the maximum, but then again, since you're asking only for the gross margin, second will be much higher, means almost, in some cases it will be as high as 50% as well. But these are higher in those particular products. As far as APIs are concerned, on a aggregate level, I would say it is in, it should be somewhere in mid-30s to late-30s, the targeted gross contribution. Whereas in formulation, it is slightly lower. Vishwa, would you like to answer that?
Yeah, sure. So currently, formulation gross margins would be about 25%, between 25 to 28%, depending on the quarter. And we do see in the coming quarters, in the coming years, an improvement in that because our gross margins are quite lower on the domestic front and substantially higher on exports. So right now we have about 38 to 40% export revenues, which we foresee to grow to a larger number, and that will improve the overall gross margin and take it maybe closer to early 30s.
Got it, sir. That's helpful. So my next question is that you've done a 145 crore capex. You mentioned 5 times asset turns. How much of that should we expect from a capacity utilization in 23?
I would like to clarify one thing, that 4 to 5 times asset turn is for the brownfield expansion, not for the entire capex.
Yes, you did the 145 crores as a brownfield, right?
No. See, in 145, a lot of money has gone for the greenfield projects as well, which are still in capital WIP.
Okay, so how much of this could you quantify went for the brownfield and for the greenfield?
So, see, very roughly around half of it must have gone for the greenfield, and half would be for maintenance as well as brownfield, and some bit I think went for the land parcel which we procured, I believe.
Fair enough. So, sir, also the other thing is you mentioned that there is more capacities which is coming on stream at the end of FY23. So, are you referring to the greenfield capex, which is for the intermediates, of which you have already spent 70 crores, give or take, and the 250 crores which you're going to spend in this year, all of that will come on stream in FY23 end?
So, yeah. So, the Tarapur facility will, you know, seems like it will come on stream, say, a couple of months or 3 months before the Gujarat facility. So, the Tarapur facility, we are hoping that we'll be able to commence the trial production by last quarter of this financial year. However, the Gujarat facility, we feel that by the end of this financial year, we should be able to complete the project. So maybe immediate start of the next financial year, we should be able to start the trial production.
Got it. And so out of the 70 crores that has already been incurred and 250 to 300 that you're incurring this year, how much of that block is towards Tarapur and how much is towards Gujarat in terms of cap?
Coincidentally, the allocation is almost equal for both the greenfield projects. Yeah, they're both equal.
Got it. And sir, you generated about 70 crores of operating cash flow this year, give or take your run rate, for the coming year. Basis that, given the high amount of capex that you're incurring along with the dividend payouts you're doing, how much will be incremental debt and how will you fund this capex really? If you could give some more color on that.
Yes. So the major reason why the operating cash flow is looking less in this financial year is one of the major reasons is the fact that we have done historically highest sale in the last quarter, about 697 crores, and typically our debtor cycle being in somewhere in 19. So all of that has went and sat in the receivable portion. So that is the reason why, you know, suddenly the increase in receivables is more, and that is why the cash flow from operations is looking less. However, what we are foreseeing is that our debt to equity ratio would be will go as high as 0.7 for the upcoming greenfield project when we implement that partially through accruals and partially through. But the targeted debt to equity number is around 0.7, and once the project start giving revenues, then it will again come down.
Got it, sir. That's helpful. And sir, you had mentioned that you have a contract with an MNC for, the specialty or intermediate products. So, Is my understanding correct that the recently concluded brownfield expansion that you have done, for which you spent about 70-75 crores as you indicated, is also the capacities that are going to be used for this contract?
So a very small portion of that went for the debottlenecking or incremental expansion of that product, whereas some other portion also went for a big brownfield expansion for another chlorosulfonation product of ours. So there are two products involved where brownfield expansion has.
Got it. And so you've mentioned guidance. You mentioned, I think last call, the aspired guidance of EBITDA being around 18%. So do you see that run rate being hit in probably 3Q, 4Q of this year?
The problem is that we were hoping that 17-18% EBITDA margins should be sustainable. However, the increase in the input cost is so high, we were doing an analysis of FY22 versus FY21, so the rate variance in the raw materials is as high as 25% in terms of the increase in the prices year on year basis for the entire year. Because of that, now we are taking hikes at the prices at the selling end, but then the thing is, for many of the products, formulation people, they have a cap at which they can sell their product in the market. Though the cap is increased by 10% or so every year, but nevertheless, the hike in the chemicals and the APIs has been more than that. So definitely, we will face some hit as far as demand is concerned. However, once the prices ease off from this level, then everything should be back at normal. So in short, Q2 or Q3, 18% would be little too optimistic. But first, we will try to achieve that 16% EBITDA mark by Q3, and then from there onwards, with the introduction of this newer product, intermediates, then probably we can look forward to increase it further.
Got it. And so the newer chronic APIs that you're having, are their gross margins, 300-400 pips higher than the acute therapy APIs?
That's a good question. But then the thing is, the margins, the situation has been so dynamic, So the margins changes. Usually chronic products had a better margin. But if there is change in market dynamics, as in some of the intermediate of a particular product goes high suddenly, then suddenly in one particular quarter, some other products look more profitable than this product. So it keeps on changing. The situation is very dynamic. But I would say before all these macroeconomic factors hit us, before that, the margins in the chronic segment were, but then in the current scenario, it is all up and down. I mean, sometimes one product looks better, sometimes other product looks better.
Got it. And so competitive intensity in chronic APIs is lower or higher? And who are your key competitors, sir?
There are Indians, a lot of Indians in the metformin market. There are almost 60 or more than around 8 players or so, 6 to 8 players who are operating in metformin. The bigger would be, I would say, 3 or 4, and the rest would be smaller. So we expect that there will be some kind of consolidation in coming couple of years. The smaller players ideally will exit. It will also depend on the fact how fast we scale up the capacities further and how fast the market grows. Because typically what happens that if market is growing at X percentage and the introduction of fresh capacities are more than that, then typically the weaker players start exiting the business. So that is how it will shape up.
Got it, sir. Thank you, Dan Alpok.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saravanan from Unifi Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. What sort of volume growth are we targeting or expecting to achieve in FY23 as well as FY24 in API segment?
See, ideally we should be targeting about 10%. Last year also we means on an entire year basis, around 10% volume growth we were able to achieve in FY22. And similar kind of volume growth we hope to achieve in the coming year as well.
Okay, and is this 9 crores per quarter is like a base EBITDA, and we would be able to grow on that? So I'm talking not as a margin term, I'm talking as an absolute EBITDA. Is, 90 crores per quarter is a sustainable number?
Yes, 90 crores should be fairly easy in that way. I was saying that 90 crores is very much doable, but we hope that it will be more than that.
Okay, that's good to know. And formulations, what is the prognosis there? Would it grow faster than the API segment, in the formulation segment, in the coming years?
Compared to
API sector, Mr. Vishwa Savla, sorry to interrupt, but your voice is not coming clear, sir.
Am I audible now?
Yeah, now it's fine. Yeah, please proceed.
Yeah. So I was saying in the formulation segment as well, we are undergoing a CapEx expansion for a new oncology plant, as well as, which will be commissioned in the coming 3 months. As well as we are also increasing our product portfolio with a good pipeline of products and expanding our market reach in terms of more international markets. So we do foresee to grow at a faster pace in the next 3 years. And the projection is to try and double our revenues in the coming 3 years. So and we are... in terms of our resources, we are on track for that.
Got it. And the US FDA plant, currently it is being utilized, right? Although we are under alert, it is getting utilized for other geographies or you're still waiting for the clearance and then you will use it only for the US business?
No, as of now, it is being utilized for other geographies, but then the utilization is fairly low. And moreover, the that will happen if we sell more to regulated markets, that will be the key factor for driving growth, profit growth from that particular unit.
Okay, so that's an important lever to look forward to, right? Once the US FDA clearance happens, by end of this year, and so your regulated markets would get fast-tracked, which will improve the margin trajectory overall.
Correct, very true.
Okay, thanks a lot and all the very best.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Runjun Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just two questions. One, you have said that you have taken the price hike and most of the price hikes were probably taken in during the March. So you believe that the gross margins what we have witnessed during this quarter four is kind of bottomed out and we can see quarter and quarter improvement on that?
One thing I noticed in the month of March also, when we were negotiating orders, that time also the margin was low. For the month of April and May, whatever we are negotiating, the margins have slightly improved for a few of the major product of ours. But then for the impact to come, it takes around 2 months. Probably towards the end, as we exit the first quarter, maybe June month might be better. That is what I have a feeling. But the quarter itself, the Q1, will definitely be impacted. Impacted means more or less similar kind of margins we will observe.
But even what you're saying, sir, have you seen impact in the raw material prices that month on month also there is any increase in that, or that is kind of stabilized right now?
Raw material prices?
Yes, sir.
Raw material prices, we haven't seen a decline yet.
But there is an increase or this will stabilize? The question is coming from, sir, because if the prices have, raw material prices have stabilized, and whatever improvement you take or hike you take on the finished goods, so that improvement, whatever small, should be visible. So that is what my understanding is, that we should see some improvement in margins, at least for Q1.
I will answer a little differently. What taking orders means we're sitting both the output side and at negotiations which are happening in the month of April and better than March. However, these are the orders being taken, but the orders means for exports, our pending order is around 3 months. For domestic, it is somewhere 20-30 days, something like. And similarly, raw materials for imported, it will be a couple of months. For domestic, it would be 15-30 days. So, you know, for that to come into the finance, whatever.
Okay, okay. So just last question. Is it possible for you to give you the Q&Q volume increase, either for API or for the whole company?
With respect to December?
Yes, sir. So from March to over December, is there any improvement in the volumes
in API? We will do that. We'll do that. I don't have... But overall, on the entire year basis, the volume growth is 10%. FY22.
Okay, now in quarter and quarter, I'll take it from your offline. So.
I will.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ankush Mahajan from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, I try to understand this capex of 250 to 350 crore. Can you give a more breakup for this capex, that this is for which therapies actually we are going to use this capex?
Yeah.
And what is the timeline for this?
The timeline is 1 year.
Okay.
The thing is, if you remove, say, around 40-50 crores apart, then rest of the capex will be equally divided into two portions. One will go in Gujarat Greenfield, and other will go in Maharashtra Greenfield facility equally.
Okay.
And we'll be coming up with the backward integration and a few other intermediates. So there will be specialty chemicals intermediates kind of a thing, and some bit of it will be using captively as well. Whereas the Tarapur Greenfield would be more of the API and allied and few derivatives of those APIs.
So what are the can you give us name of the therapies?
The therapy would be it goes in derma segment. In the skin treatment, skin care.
For the APA. I mean, for the specialty APA, specialty products, them.
So that would be intermediate to some of our pharma products.
Mm-hmm.
And mainly there will be pharma intermediates. Will go in pharma intermediates. And some of it might go for under day. derivatives of those products might also go for animal feed category.
Okay, animal feeds. Okay. And so how much is the brownfield and how much is the greenfield?
So major would be the greenfield thing for coming year. And only if, what are that 40-50 crores which you are earmarking, only that would be, the part of that would be used for brownfield.
That of course. Okay. So can you give me some names of the raw materials, like the raw materials that we are using, like I'm just taking example of the benzene is the one part. What are the raw materials that are using? Can you give me the name of some raw materials?
Yeah, I mean, so we use a lot of raw materials, acetic acid, nitric acid, so many. Means there are almost 300, more than 300 raw materials.
I mean, major names, sir.
Harit, yeah. Would you like to answer
that? Actually, we are into antibiotics, so we use a lot of fluorobenzene chemistry intermediates, and also piperazine is one of them. And
okay.
And then a lot of basic chemicals we use, and it depends on the product specific. Basically, many other intermediates we are using. It's very difficult to give names, but there are at least 200 chemicals we are using at least a month. Yeah.
Thank you, sir. That's from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ravi Lodha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Mr. Ravi, Mr. Lodha, your voice is breaking up. May we request you to take the phone off handset, please?
Yes, sir. Yes, my question is whether RC Drugs is able to get the revenue target of 4,500 in FY 26 or 27. Hello.
6, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. So yeah, we should be that is fairly doable.
Okay. Actually, sir, in on call that is of Q3 FY 21, you told that 4,500 revenue target will be occur in 5 years, and now you are saying that this target can be achieved in nearly next 5 to 6 years. So whether this target is elongated means it will be delayed.
See, FY26 means that will be now 23, 24, 25, means 3, 4, 5, 6. That is 4 years from now, considering this year.
Okay, four to five years from now. Okay, sir.
Around 4 years from now, it should be fairly easy.
Okay, sir. And sir, one more question. Your revenue, in your revenue, nearly 43%, it consists of antibiotics. So whether these antibiotics are somewhat import and substitution from China?
Partly yes, yeah. Many of them. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, partly yes, okay. Because yeah.
And sir, whether we can believe that the margin which we are getting this year, that is nearly 13%. Do we believe that in future it will be, it can cross more than 20%, or it will be remain 20 to 25%? EBITDA margins,
once all our greenfield projects come into picture, then definitely we can eye for, like, you know, something near to 20%, and also the regulated markets, you know, then we can target crossing 20.
Okay. And sir, whatever we are doing the capex, that is of 600 crore, So it will be means more margin, I mean more margin product or less margin product?
The CapEx, they are generally higher margin products. Because the thing is right now, even our existing products are performing, below what they usually perform. So even from the existing basket also, we are hoping for a recovery of around 300 basis points, around 3%, even from the existing.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. All the best for from my sector.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rahul Jha from Bay Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I was looking at again on the R&D slide. So last year you had some 57 MSc graduates and 11 graduates. But this year again it has come down like how much? One second. 27 MSc graduates and 28 graduates. So is there attrition happening, like senior people are leaving on the R&D side? Because we are not seeing anything gross margins also. Like you have been saying that you have been backward integration is happening. So gross margin to EBITDA margin flow should not be weaker, na? It is getting weaker. Your gross margin should expand or the volume should go up. Nothing is happening in that.
No, I didn't understand. See, about the R&D part, I will definitely check all the slides and this. But there is no attrition as such in the R&D.
No, because, see,
in fact,
last year it was 57 MSc graduates. This year 28 MSc graduates. So it is half. And freshers and engineering graduates.
A problem. We'll check the numbers, but then the thing is, on the shop floor level, the real ground reality is that we haven't reduced any R&D. In fact, we have put up one more floor in our centralized R&D center at Tarapur. We have expanded the R&D last year, in fact, by one more floor. So the thing is, ground reality is there is no cut down in R&D or anything like that. We are doing R&D. In fact, we have put up pilot plants also last year to do R&D of the bigger projects which we are launching right now. And your other question was regarding the gross margins, right?
Yes. So like you have been saying regularly that there has been backward integration and like debottlenecking and all those.
Yes.
So based on that.
Backward integration.
Yeah. So let me complete.
Backward integration projects are going on. Okay.
So either there should be a gross margin expansion, right? Or the EBITDA margin expansion. But neither of it is visible.
Okay. So the backward integration projects which you are putting up, mainly that is happening in the greenfield location at Gujarat. So that facility hasn't commenced yet. Secondly, we in fact other backward integration we had means put up the capacity, but then the thing is there is some problem in the pricing parity of a few of the very basic chemicals which are available in India and China, and that has also happened because of this situation, geopolitical situation right now, and because of which there is means. Because of that disparity of the basic chemical prices in India and China is where we are facing the heat as of now. But once we come to level playing ground, then means from technological standpoint, we are the products, top 15 products in which we are operating, most of them we are either at par or even better than China. So it is a temporary phase because of which these gross margins and EBITDA margins have been impacted. But that has happened across the board for all the API companies.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participant, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for joining us on this call. Please reach out to us or our IR consultant SGA. Should you have any further queries, we can now close the call. And thank you once again for participating in this call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.